Hello, hello, people of God. Being a part of God's family is truly a blessing and a privilege. My name is Nicole Seabrooks, and welcome to Runner for Christ Ministries Bible reading class. We thank God for each and every one of you who join in every week. You are truly a blessing from God. You can help us by letting someone know that this Bible class is here on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, we will be reading from Deuteronomy chapter 6 through 10, and after that, we will begin to answer the review questions. If you would like to join in with answering any of the questions or would like to share a comment, you can just press the number 1. That will put you in the host queue, and your mic will be open for you to answer your questions. Ask a question, or you can just simply make a comment. We only have one favor that we ask. Please be mindful of the background noise. We would like to keep it at a bare minimum to none. A good way to do this is to simply mute your phone when you're not speaking, and you can unmute it when you'd like to speak. So we always like to start class with prayer because it's really important that we invite God. So let us begin with prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this day and the opportunity to know you and your ways. Thank you for blessing us with your word. What a great gift we have in your word. Holy Spirit, guide us as we're reading through your word. Illuminate our minds that we may get understanding of your word. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Now we are going to listen to Deuteronomy chapter 6 through 10, and I will meet you on the other side.
Deuteronomy 6. These are the commands, decrees and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands, and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you. For the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not put the Lord your God to the test as you did at Massah. Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that it may go well with you, and you may go in and take over the good land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors, thrusting out all your enemies before you, as the Lord said. In the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you, tell him, We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders, great and terrible, on Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land he promised on oath to our ancestors. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness. Deuteronomy 7. When the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess and drives out before you many nations, the Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, seven nations larger and stronger than you. And when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you and you have defeated them, then you must destroy them totally, make no treaty with them, and show them no mercy. Do not intermarry with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters for your sons, for they will turn your children away from following me to serve other gods. And the Lord's anger will burn against you and will quickly destroy you. This is what you are to do to them. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, cut down their Asherah poles, and burn their idols in the fire. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your ancestors that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. But those who hate him, he will repay to their face by destruction. He will not be slow to repay to their face those who hate him. Therefore, take care to follow the commands, decrees, and laws I give you today. If you pay attention to these laws and are careful to follow them, then the Lord your God will keep his covenant of love with you, as he swore to your ancestors. He will love you and bless you and increase your numbers. He will bless the fruit of your womb, the crops of your land, your grain, new wine and olive oil, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you. You will be blessed more than any other people. None of your men or women will be childless, nor will any of your livestock be without young. The Lord will keep you free from every disease. He will not inflict on you the horrible diseases you knew in Egypt, but he will inflict them on all who hate you. You must destroy all the peoples the Lord your God gives over to you. Do not look on them with pity, and do not serve their gods, for that will be a snare to you. You may say to yourselves, "These nations are stronger than we are. How can we drive them out?" But do not be afraid of them. Remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt. You saw with your own eyes the great trials, the signs and wonders, the mighty hand and outstretched arm with which the Lord your God brought you out. The Lord your God will do the same to all the peoples you now fear. Moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornet among them until even the survivors who hide from you have perished. Do not be terrified by them, for the Lord your God who is among you is a great and awesome God. The Lord your God will drive out those nations before you little by little. You will not be allowed to eliminate them all at once, or the wild animals will multiply around you. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you, throwing them into great confusion until they are destroyed. He will give their kings into your hand, and you will wipe out their names from under heaven. No one will be able to stand up against you. You will destroy them. The images of their gods you are to burn in the fire. Do not covet the silver and gold on them, and do not take it for yourselves, or you will be ensnared by it, for it is detestable to the Lord your God. Do not bring a detestable thing into your house, or you, like it, will be set apart for destruction. Regard it as vile and utterly detest it, for it is set apart for destruction. Deuteronomy 8. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today. so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, and a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce, and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron, and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 9. Hear, Israel. You are now about to cross the Jordan to go in and dispossess nations greater and stronger than you, with large cities that have walls up to the sky. The people are strong and tall, Anakites. You know about them and have heard it said, who can stand up against the Anakites? But be assured today that the Lord your God is the one who goes across ahead of you like a devouring fire. He will destroy them, he will subdue them before you, and you will drive them out and annihilate them quickly, as the Lord has promised you. After the Lord your God has driven them out before you, do not say to yourself, the Lord has brought me here to take possession of this land because of my righteousness. No, it is on account of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is going to drive them out before you. It is not because of your righteousness or your integrity that you are going in to take possession of their land, but on account of the wickedness of these nations, the Lord your God will drive them out before you to accomplish what he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand then that it is not because of your righteousness that the Lord your God is giving you this good land to possess, for you are a stiff-necked people. Remember this, and never forget how you aroused the anger of the Lord your God in the wilderness. From the day you left Egypt until you arrived here, you have been rebellious against the Lord. At Horeb, you aroused the Lord's wrath so that he was angry enough to destroy you. When I went up on the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant that the Lord had made with you, I stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I ate no bread and drank no water. The Lord gave me 2 stone tablets inscribed by the finger of God. On them were all the commandments the Lord proclaimed to you, on the mountain, out of the fire, on the day of the assembly. At the end of the 40 days and 40 nights, the Lord gave me the two stone tablets, the tablets of the covenant. Then the Lord told me, go down from here at once, because your people whom you brought out of Egypt have become corrupt. They have turned away quickly from what I commanded them, and have made an idol for themselves. And the Lord said to me, I have seen this people, and they are a stiff-necked people indeed. Let me alone, so that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make you into a nation stronger and more numerous than they. So I turned and went down from the mountain while it was ablaze with fire, and the two tablets of the covenant were in my hands. When I looked, I saw that you had sinned against the Lord your God. You had made for yourselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. You had turned aside quickly from the way that the Lord had commanded you. So I took the two tablets and threw them out of my hands, breaking them to pieces before your eyes. Then once again I fell prostrate before the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. I ate no bread and drank no water, because of all the sin you had committed, doing what was evil in the Lord's sight, and so arousing his anger. I feared the anger and wrath of the Lord, for he was angry enough with you to destroy you. But again the Lord listened to me, and the Lord was angry enough with Aaron to destroy him, but at that time I prayed for Aaron too. Also, I took that sinful thing of yours, the calf you had made, and burned it in the fire. And I crushed it and ground it to powder as fine as dust, and threw the dust into a stream that flowed down the mountain. You also made the Lord angry at Taberah, at Massah, and at Kibroth Hattaavah. And when the Lord sent you out from Kadesh Barnea, he said, go up and take possession of the land I have given you. But you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You did not trust him or obey him. You have been rebellious against the Lord ever since I have known you. I lay prostrate before the Lord those 40 days and 40 nights because the Lord had said he would destroy you. I prayed to the Lord and said, Sovereign Lord, do not destroy your people, your own inheritance that you redeemed by your great power and brought out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Overlook the stubbornness of this people, their wickedness, and their sin. Otherwise, the country from which you brought us will say, because the Lord was not able to take them into the land he had promised them, and because he hated them, he brought them out to put them to death in the wilderness. But they are your people, your inheritance that you brought out by your great power and your outstretched arm. Deuteronomy 10. At that time the Lord said to me, chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones, and come up to me on the mountain. Also make a wooden ark. I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. Then you are to put them in the ark. So I made the ark out of acacia wood, and chiseled out two stone tablets like the first ones. And I went up on the mountain with the two tablets in my hands. The Lord wrote on these tablets what he had written before, the Ten Commandments. He had proclaimed to you on the mountain, out of the fire, on the day of the assembly. And the Lord gave them to me. Then I came back down the mountain and put the tablets in the ark I had made, as the Lord commanded me, and they are there now. The Israelites traveled from the wells of Bnei Jaakan to Moserah. There Aaron died and was buried, and Eleazar his son succeeded him as priest. From there they traveled to Gudgadah and on to Jotbatha, a land with streams of water. At that time the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister and to pronounce blessings in his name, as they still do today. That is why the Levites have no share or inheritance among their fellow Israelites. The Lord is their inheritance, as the Lord your God told them. Now I had stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights, as I did the first time, and the Lord listened to me at this time also. It was not his will to destroy you. Go, the Lord said to me, and lead the people on their way, so that they may enter and possess the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you, but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affection on your ancestors and loved them, and he chose you, their descendants, above all the nations as it is today. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. For the Lord your God is a God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt. Fear the Lord your God and serve him. Hold fast to him and take your oaths in his name. He is the one you praise. He is your God, who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. Your ancestors who went down into Egypt were 70 in all. And now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in the sky.
All right. So that was Deuteronomy chapters 6 through 11. Last week, we began with the book of Deuteronomy, and we talked about how it had been 40 years since Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt. God had entered into a covenant with them, and they refused to go in and take possession of the promised land. Everyone from the generation that left Egypt had now died, and once again, this next generation who were born in the wilderness is now at the edge of the promised land. Moses is reviewing the Lord's covenant and laws with this new generation. This new generation knows nothing but living in the wilderness. Some of the highlights of chapters 1 through 5 from last week's class is that Moses is speaking to the Israelites in the book of Deuteronomy. Out of the entire generation that came out of Egypt, only two people, Caleb and Joshua, were able to enter into the promised land. Moses did not get to enter into the promised land, but God did allow him to look at it from the peak of Mount Pisgah. They had been wandering for 40 years and 11 months. Moses gave them God's covenant, which is known as the Ten Commandments, the law. And they were instructed to teach their children and grandchildren about God's decrees and laws. As long as they obeyed God's laws and decrees, they would live long and prosperous in the land. But this was a conditional covenant. If they broke the covenant, they would quickly disappear from the land and be scattered among the nations with only a few surviving. So let's get into chapter 6 through 10's questions. All right, so let's start with question number 1. Why did God rescue Israel from the oppressive hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt?
Number one is 7, 7 through 9.
Beautiful.
The Lord did not set on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other nations, for you were the smallest of all nations. Rather, it was simply that the Lord loves you and he was keeping the oath he had sworn to your ancestors. That is why the Lord rescued you with such a strong hand from your slavery and from the oppressive hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt.
Beautiful, beautiful. So it's pretty simple. He loved them, and he had made a promise, and God makes good on all of his promises.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Number 2, how many nations were occupying the land that God had promised to the Israelites.
I have chapter 7, verses 1 and 2.
Great.
When the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess and drive out before you many nations, the Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, that's seven nations larger and stronger than you. And I'll finish the sentence. And when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you and you have defeated them, then you must destroy them totally.
All right. So how many nations were there?
Seven.
Very good. Seven. They were greater and more numerous, as we found in the question number one. Israel was smaller than all of the other nations, and God wanted to do something great through them. Very good, very good. Number three, what were the Israelites instructed to do to the nations that occupied the promised land? What was he to do with these seven nations? Or what were the Israelites to do with these seven nations?
Number three. 7, chapter 7, 2 through 6, which says, when the Lord your God hands these nations over to you and you conquer them, you must completely destroy them. Make no treaties with them and show them no mercy. You must not intermarry with them. Do not let your daughters and sons marry their sons and daughters. But they will lead your children away from me to worship other gods. Then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and he will quickly destroy you. This is what you must do. You must break down their pagan altars and shatter their sacred pillars. Cut down the Asherah poles and burn their idols, for you are holy people who belong to the Lord your God. Of all the people on earth, the Lord your God has chosen you to be his own special treasure.
Very good. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, in summary, what specifically were the Israelites instructed to do to those nations that had already been occupying the land? So, if I was to summarize it, basically, they were to drive out all of the enemies mm-hmm. living in the land and completely destroy them, period.
Wow.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So they had some pretty specific instructions.
Okay,
four.
One question.
Sure.
What is, I was reading trying to figure it out myself. I guess it's just something they've done over the years. But I was wondering why God would push somebody out of that where they're living for his people. I understand, but I don't know.
Glad you asked that question, because that's the very next question.
Oh, my
number
bad.
Four. No, that's okay. That's okay, because I often have asked this question. So, number four.
Yeah. They said they were wicked. They were doing wicked things.
Oh, right.
Let me see. Number four.
Yep.
Why did God
drive out the nations that occupied the land that he had promised to the Israelites?
Okay. I have... chapter number 7, and I have verses 7 through 10, but give me a minute.
I think it's 9, 4 through 6, Eric, to read that.
Okay, well, that's cool, too. My bad.
Go ahead,
somebody who said that.
Okay, 9, 4 through 6 says, after the Lord your God has done this for you, don't say,
in your heart, the Lord has given us this land because we are such good people. No, it is because of the wickedness of the other nations that he is pushing them out of your way. It is not because you are so good or have such integrity that you are about to occupy the land. The Lord your God will drive these nations out ahead of you only because of their wickedness and to fulfill the oath he swore to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You must
recognize.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, that's basically what this is saying, because this is saying on 7, 8, and would start with number 8, rather it was something that the Lord loves you and he was keeping the oath he had sworn to your ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what
rescued
you, you know, well, okay.
Yep.
But
you know, you can't forget that we serve a just God.
Mm-hmm.
True.
And, you know, a part of what Kathy was reading did mention the fact that he is fulfilling the oath that he swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you.
Very good. And thank you, because that's what this class is all about, is getting into God's word and asking those questions, because that was a great question. I asked it myself. And then finding the answers. It wasn't that, you know, that Israel was this great group of people and God chose them because they were also special.
Well, I agree
with
that.
God has sworn, you know, an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he wanted them to not be so proud about it as if they were special. So moving on to number 5. Which tribe of Israel does not have a share of property or possession of the land that God promised the Israelites? And what is the possession that God gave to this tribe?
I had 10 verses 8 and 9. Now, I might be wrong again. At that time, the Lord had set apart the tribe of Levi to carry out the ark of the Lord's covenant, stand before the Lord. But no, that's not the right answer. My bad.
That's it. That's
yes,
it.
It is.
That's it. That's what
it
I
is.
Have. Just read it.
Oh, I read. I 89. Then that it was why Levites had no share of the property or possession in the law. Yeah, okay. I was looking at something else. I apologize. I went to verse 10 instead of 9. That is why the Levites had no share of the property or possession of land of other Israelite tribes. The Lord himself is their special possession, as the Lord your God told them.
Beautiful.
Amen.
Yep.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. So God has set them apart to keep the Ark of the Lord's covenant, stand before the Lord as ministers, and to pronounce blessings in his name. And the Lord himself is their special possession.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
better than any piece of land.
Any land you can get. They don't have a land good enough.
Right.
If you got all the land, it still didn't equal up to him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, exactly. And sometimes, you know, I hear people often feel as if the church is left out because we didn't get land, but we have a special possession as well.
Yeah.
So, moving on to number 6, what are the specific promises mentioned in the covenant and oath that God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? And this is a loaded question.
What about number 6, 10, 11?
What?
That's what I said.
It's found in chapter 6. Well, what are some of those promises? Let's just, like, pull out. What are those promises that were mentioned?
specifically?
It says the horses will be richly stocked with goods you did not produce. You will draw water from cisterns you did not dig, and you will eat from vineyards and olive trees you did not plant. Your field in this land, be careful not to forget the Lord who rescued you from the slavery in the land of Egypt. Whoa, was that 6:11? Oh, that's it.
Very good. Somebody have something different? Somebody have something more, not necessarily different?
I had chapter 8, verses 6 through 10. So obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land of flowing streams and pools of water, with fountains and springs that gush out in the valleys and hills. It is a land of wheat and barley, of grapevines, fig trees, and pomegranates, of olive oil and honey. It is a land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. It is a land where iron is common, as stone, copper is abundant in the hills. When you have eaten your fill, when you have eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. I might be wrong on that one, now that I read it.
You are not wrong. Those are blessings. Those are blessings. Sometimes our answers are in more than one place, you know, and it's important that we draw out what the actual answer is. You know, if somebody was to walk up to you on the street and just ask you a question, well, what were the promises given in the covenant that God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob?
Which numbers were those in? Which verses were those?
Chapter 8, verses 6 through 10.
Okay.
Did anyone have anything different than chapter 8 or chapter 6?
No.
Let's take a look at chapter 7, verses 13 through 15.
13 through 15. Okay. He will love you.
Will somebody read that for me? Chapter 7, verses 13 through 15.
He will love you and bless you, and he will give you many children. He will give you fertility to your land and your animals. When you arrive in the land he swore to give your ancestors, you will have large harvests of grain, new wine and olive oil, and great herds of cattle, sheep, and goats. You will be blessed above all the nations of the earth. None of your men or women will be childless, and all your livestock will bear young. And the Lord will protect you from all sickness. He will not let you suffer from the terrible diseases you knew in Egypt, but he will inflict them on all your enemies. Amen?
All right. Amen. Amen. So their blessings were just overflowing.
Mm-hmm.
Many children, fertility in the land and the animals, their harvest, large harvest in grain, new wine, oil, grapes, herds of cattle, sheep, and goats. They will be blessed above all nations of the earth. None of their women would be childless. Can you imagine that?
Mm-hmm.
All of their livestock would bear young. They would be protected from all sickness and disease that they had known from being in Egypt, and God would inflict them on all of their enemies. So look at that. Look at that prosperity. It's like God is so specific in his blessings. You know, when I think about how he blesses me, you know, he is very specific in his blessings for all of us.
What's wrong?
Number 7. What was God's provision for orphans, widows,
and foreigners that lived among the Israelites.
Okay, that was chapter 10, 17 through 19.
Through 22.
It says, for the Lord your God is the God of gods and Lord of lords. He is great God, the mighty and awesome God who shows no partiality and cannot be bribed. He ensures that orphans and widows receive justice. He shows love to the foreigners living among you and give them food and clothing. So you too must show love to the foreigners, for you yourselves were once foreigners in the land of Egypt.
Very good. So God makes provision for those that are vulnerable. Even in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 27, it says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. And so, you know, he is always watching over everyone, and everyone was included in these promises. And what were you going to say, Eric?
No, that's part of the description of being a deacon and looking after the widows and orphans. That's part of some of the requirements. I mean, some of the things you do,
absolutely.
I guess.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's actually everybody's responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, could you imagine this type of economy where everyone is cared for and everyone is thought about when it came to the things that they needed, food, clothing. What were the consequences given to the nation of Israel if they worship any of the gods of the neighboring nations? And that's number 8.
Number 8?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I got two answers on that question. One is I had chapter 8, verses 19 and 20. What was the question again? What were the consequences given to the nation of Israel if they worship any god from the neighboring nations? Yeah, but I assure you of this. If you ever forget the Lord your God and forget and follow other gods, worshiping and bowing down to them, you will certainly be destroyed. Just as the Lord has destroyed other nations in your path, you also will be destroyed if you refuse to obey the Lord your God. Now, I don't know if that's right. And the other one I had was.
Well, hang on. Let's stop for a second. Why don't you know that that's right?
Oh, man. I just had two answers. I didn't know I was going to say both of them.
Oh, okay. Okay, because it's not that your answer is wrong, because you just specifically told us what the consequences would be. And so sometimes when we're reading through the Word of God, the answer is in multiple places, and that's okay. The most important thing is that we get the answer, you know, to the question specifically. If I was to walk up to you, not knowing you, and ask you, what were the consequences given to the nation of Israel if they worship any of the gods of the neighboring nations? And you would answer?
Oh, you're asking me what I answered?
Yeah, how would you answer it?
I just got to say.
Exactly, right. But would you read them a paragraph? Or would you say destroy them? He would.
Right. No, I wouldn't read them no paragraph. No, I wouldn't, young lady. I mean.
Right, exactly.
Miss Teacher.
It also said it, Nicole, it also said it in 6:14-15. It said, you must not worship any of the gods of neighboring nations, for the Lord your God who lives among you is a jealous God. His anger will flare up against you, and he will wipe you from the face of the earth.
Right.
Very good. Yes, yes. So both of those answers are very much correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Captain.
God's anger would flare up. He would destroy them. He would wipe them from the face of the earth. Because we know that he is a jealous God.
Well.
Well.
Moving on to number 9. How and why did God humble and test the Israelites in the wilderness? What was he trying to teach them?
I had chapter 8, verses chapter 8, verse 2 through 5.
Okay.
Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone, rather we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. For all these 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out and your feet didn't blister or swell. Think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your own good. Amen?
Beautiful. Amen. Excellent, excellent. So in summary.
You can see me?
No, I can't.
You can see me. Oh, no, I mean,
oh,
you were
no,
just
I
saying
can't.
Beautiful.
I can't.
No, when you said beautiful, I thought you could see me.
Your answer to the question was beautiful, Eric.
Okay, good answer.
In summary, how did God humble and test the Israelites in the wilderness? He let them go hungry and then fed them manna. So he didn't let them starve to death.
No.
And he was trying to teach them that man does not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of God.
Yeah.
Right. He wanted to know whether or not they would obey his commands. So ultimately, God wanted the Israelites to be completely dependent upon him for everything.
For everything.
Any questions? Comments?
Nope.
All right. Number 10. What did the Israelites do to corrupt themselves when Moses had spent 40 days and 40 nights on Mount Sinai? And how did Moses handle this situation?
Chapter 9, 11 through 17. It says, at the end of the 40 days and nights, the Lord handed me the two stone tablets scribed with the words of the covenant. Then the Lord said to me, get up, go down immediately, for the people who brought you out of Egypt have corrupted themselves. How quickly they have turned away from the way I commanded them to live. They have melted gold and made an idol for themselves. The Lord also said to me, I have seen how stubborn and rebellious these people are. Leave me alone so I may destroy them and erase their name from under heaven. Then I will make a mighty nation of your descendants, a nation larger and more powerful than they are. So while the mountain was blazing with fire, I turned and came down, holding in my hands the two stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant. There below me I could see that you had sinned against the Lord your God. You had melted gold and made a calf idol for yourself. How quickly you have turned away from the path the Lord had commanded you to follow. So I took the stone tablets and threw them to the ground, smashing them before your eyes. Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Amen. So
the Israelites had turned away from the way that God had commanded them to live, and they had melted some gold and made an idol for themselves. Can you believe that? Right after hearing God speak with your own ears. And then Moses, he took that idol, he melted it down in the fire, grounded it into dust, and he threw the dust into the stream that flows down the mountain.
Okay, yeah. All the way to 20.
Yeah.
21. Yeah, so he prayed too. So I didn't go that far here. He said he threw himself down before the Lord 40 days and nights. He ate no bread and drank no water because of the great sin you had committed by doing what the Lord hated, provoking him to anger. I feared that the fierce anger of the Lord, which turned him against you, would drive him to destroy you. But again, he listened to me. The Lord was so angry with Aaron that he wanted to destroy him too. But I prayed for Aaron, and the Lord spared him. I took your sin, the calf you had made, and melted it down in the fire and ground it into the fine dust. Then I threw the dust into the stream that flows down the mountain. Yep, 21.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So it sounds like Moses also fasted and prayed for 40 days and 40 nights about this situation. Thank you, Kathy. Very good. Number 11. Who wrote the terms of the covenant that Moses presented to the Israelites at Mount Sinai on the two stone tablets?
Okay. I had chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. And at that time, the Lord said to me, so he was talking to the Lord, so chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones. Also make a wooden ark and sacred chest, store them in. Come up to me on the mount, and I will write on them tablets the same words that I were on the ones you smashed. Then place the tablets in the ark.
All right, so who wrote the terms of the covenant that was written on the tablets?
It would be my father.
All right. Very good. Very good. God did.
Right.
God did.
Yes.
Number 12. Where did the first set of stone tablets come from?
Number 12.
Number 12, where did the first set of stone tablets come from, and what happened to them?
Well, I had, actually, 10, 1, and 2 for the one that is just the answer for number 11. So, for number 11, I had 9, 7, 10, but where did the first stone tablets come from and what happened to them? I said, at that time, the Lord said to me, chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones. Also made a wooden ark, a sacred chest to store them in. Come up to me on the mountain, and I will write on the tablets the same words that were on the ones you smashed.
Very good. Excellent. Excellent.
What happened to them? Yeah.
Beautiful.
So 1 and 2. Yeah. And then he placed the tablets in the ark. That's what I had.
So there was two sets of stone tablets. The first set, Moses smashed them. But the first set of stone tablets, the Lord had handed Moses the two stone tablets and inscribed the words of the covenant.
Right.
And what happened to him? Moses smashed him.
Yeah, threw him down, right?
Yeah. Because he was angry.
Right.
Number 13. Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. We were just speaking about that when he came down and saw them worshiping this idol that they had made.
That calf, right.
Mm-hmm. Number 13, how often did Moses tell the Israelites to talk about God's commands for them?
Chapter 6,
verse
6-8.
Okay.
And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to those commands that I have, that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed, and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates.
That's right.
Very good. Thank you, Mother. Very good.
Okay.
Yes. So how often? All the time.
All the time.
All the
every
time.
Time.
I mean, how else can we raise our children up to know the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
If we're talking about him all the time and his words all the time, his commandments all the time. If we just depend on somebody, you know, giving them Sunday school for 30 minutes on a Sunday, how would they even get to know him and to know his ways?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's very important, even for us today. We should be talking about God all the time. I know I'm guilty of it, you know. When my son, who is a young adult, he comes and asks me questions often, they could be questions that have nothing to do with the Word of God. And somehow, he always says, I go to the Bible because I'm always looking at how would God handle this situation? What does God have to say about this matter?
Mm-hmm.
And so we should be doing that all the time if we want our children to grow up
give
in the fear and
foundation.
Admonition of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Number 14, where did God tell Moses to store the covenant of the Ten Commandments?
That would be 10:3-5. It says, so I made an ark of acacia wood and cut two stone tablets like the first two. Then I went up to the mountain with the tablets in my hand. Once again, the Lord wrote the Ten Commandments on the tablets and gave them to me. They were the same words the Lord had spoken to you from the heart of the fire on the day you were assembled at the foot of the mountain. Then I turned and came down the mountain and placed the tablets in the Ark of the Covenant, which I made just as the Lord commanded me. And the tablets are still there in the Ark.
Beautiful. Very good. Very good. So Moses was commanded to place the tablets in the Ark of the Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
That brings us to number 15. When is a person counted as righteous according to the laws and decrees God gave to the Israelites?
I had 6:24-25.
Okay.
God commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear him so he can continue to bless us and preserve our lives as he has done to this day. For we will be counted as righteous when we obey all the commands the Lord our God has given us.
Wow, so an Israelite is not counted as righteous unless they obey all of the law. And I know that Pastor, he would often preach about that, which is why we needed Christ to save us from our sin, because it wasn't even possible. Exactly. It wasn't. It's not even possible. Born in sin, shaped in iniquity.
Right.
For us to obey all of the commands.
That's true.
And so those were our questions today. I challenge you all. I really appreciate the way that you guys are using the Bible. This is Bible reading class, in finding those answers. But I would challenge you all to summarize your answers after the class, so that you could answer these questions if somebody was to just ask you a question. How many nations were occupying the land that God promised to the Israelites? It was seven. It's like, how many, you know? Right. It's like we should know the short answers to these questions, because as I'm going through this book of Deuteronomy and I'm studying it myself, my son is asking me questions, and I'm actually using answers that I'm receiving from this Bible study to answer him.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're just having a conversation. He could be calling me up. Sometimes we're just in passing, you know, around the house. And it's amazing the way God uses his word to so that we could teach others. You know, just as the Israelites were supposed to teach their children and their grandchildren, we have that same charge to teach our children and our grandchildren. Otherwise, where are they going to get it from? You know, the world is not going to give it to them. It's up to us to give it to them. And if we know God and we have this precious gift of salvation, you know, we should be evangelizing our houses first.
Amen.
All right. Does anybody else have any other questions or comments? I may not be able to answer your questions, but I was going to say, but I'm sure our pastor would be able to.
You know, this is Pastor Tate. I was listening to Eric Reed, question number eight. And the thought came about the reason why God is not giving us the blessing that he wants us to have here on earth is because we, the church, haven't been obeying his commands.
Yes, thank you for that, Terrence. We certainly appreciate that. And you are absolutely right. You know, God's word and his commands and his laws are very much alive today. And it is important for us to be obedient to his word.
Yes, it is.
And as we have salvation, we have been given the power to do his will.
Because if we the church are obeying his command, how is the next generation going to learn how to follow his command that he's given to the next generation of people?
Exactly. You know, if our children are at home and watching us, you know, lying to everybody, and then we expect them to tell us the truth. Well,
exactly.
How does that work out?
You know, that was, I was having that very conversation with the Lord earlier today. that, and he wanted me to post it on Facebook, but I was laughing so hard, I was like, I don't know if this is a joke or if you're serious. But he said, post on Facebook, parents, whoever those parents are, your children want to talk like you and want to act like you. Now, here's the question. Is that a good or a bad thing?
Wow.
All right.
I didn't put it out there. I get attacked enough. But it's funny, we're talking about that now, and I'm sure that's him bringing it up to let me know that that was him wanting me to put that out there. But you got no idea how you can get attacked when you do stuff like that, and I get enough random attacks rather than.
I think that was a fair question.
It sure is.
Yeah, if our kids acted like and talked like and did like we do, would that be a good or a bad thing?
Absolutely.
But what
and
if,
you know, we
what
should be asking
kids...
ourselves, I was just saying that, you know, we should be asking ourselves that question often, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wherever we serve, you know, when we go to work, you know, if you work in a position where you are doing a customer service, would you want to approach yourself and expect a service? If you're a mechanic, would you bring your car to yourself?
Right,
you know?
Right. See, that those are some really searching questions, because when you look at the way that the parents raised those Hebrew boys that I've been preaching about, and now they're stuck in Babylon in a pagan nation, but the teaching is paying off. So apparently those parents did what Deuteronomy 6 is talking about. Talk about it when you're here, talk about it when you're there, talk about it everywhere. Apparently they did that, and now they're away from their parents on their own, and it's paying off. They're making Israel have a better day in a bad day. So it really pays off.
It does. It does. And you may not see it immediately, but just like anything, your child didn't learn how to walk on day one.
I think that question would make people just kind of think and then look themselves in the mirror and be like, oh.
Right. Right.
If my child was just
right.
like me, wow. You know what else caught me? It's a verse that I love. It's in chapter 7. It's do not be afraid of those nations, for the Lord your God is among you, and he is a great and awesome God. That verse has stuck with me for a long time. There's another verse that says, what other nation has such a body of laws as these? And what other nation has a God who hears you when you call? And then a couple of things came up in 8. I think it's 8 and 3 or 8 and 4. And it talks about something that we should be familiar with. It says, when we was talking about, I heard y'all discussing, a man does not live by bread alone. Who quoted that verse in the New Testament?
It was Jesus in the wilderness to Satan.
Yeah, baby Holy Ghost said Jesus. Nicole said Jesus. Now, he also talks about, think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your own good. Who quoted that in the New Testament and where?
Paul did that, didn't he?
Proverbs.
Paul is the right person who quoted it. In which book?
I'm going to let somebody else answer that. Definitely don't know.
That was okay. I give you the book. It's Hebrews. What chapter?
You always talking about 6 and 12, so one of them.
There you go, 12. Hebrews 12 and 6, I believe it starts out where God disciplines his children. He actually uses these words that God, our parents disciplined us as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good. So
right.
Everything
Amen.
You really see in the New Testament is just verifying what you saw in the Old Testament, or giving it legitimacy, or there's another word, I just can't find it. Okay, validates. It validates what we read in the Old Testament. And it's, you hear it in the New, all of this stuff that we're hearing now, we hear in the New Testament, but it's a different kind of a relation because we're not under the law, and God did not give this to us. He gave it to Israel. But we can glean from it because all the word, as Paul told us in Romans chapter 7, all the word of God is good. Okay, the problem is us trying to live it, but all the word of God is good. But as we're going through here, don't forget we're under grace and not under the law, but we can glean some life lessons, tons of life lessons from this. And the Old Testament is just filled up with examples of people who follow God and people who don't. What happens when you do and what happens when you don't. And that comes right into the New Testament. Only in the New Testament, if God wasn't close enough to him in the Old Testament, talking to him, I heard Nicole say, how could you turn around so quickly after hearing his voice? How many people on earth would love to hear our Father's voice? Now, Jesus talks all the time through the Holy Spirit, but how many of us have actually heard God, our Father? There's only a few places in the Bible where you're going to find, well, throughout the Old Testament, what you hear is Jesus. Okay? Scholars argue today that Moses actually heard the voice of God the Father. But then we have Jesus in the New Testament saying nobody has heard God, nobody has seen God, only those to whom the Son has revealed him. And notice he didn't use the name Jesus. He used the name Son, because in the Old Testament, he's a theophany, a visible manifestation of God, the Son, the second person of the Godhead. So that's where the scholars get caught up in the argument, because Jesus said if he heard the Son, then he heard God. But at the same time, we learn in John 16 that when God speaks to Jesus, Jesus speaks to the Holy Spirit speaks to us. So they argue about that thing. But to hear God's voice from heaven while Jesus is standing right there with you, as in John 12, and Jesus says this voice didn't come on my behalf for my good, but it came for you that you might believe. That's John 12. Amen. But how they could turn around so quickly, they did. They did after hearing God's voice. Just like us, we'll get out of this Bible class and cuss somebody out. So, amen. But we get better as we spend time with him. What we want to guard against is this. When we get out of this book and Moses get through with this 2-hour and 8-minute speech, they're going into the promised land. And all this stuff he's telling them about, get rid of all those people. If not, they're going to become a snare to you. They're not going to get rid of all the people. And God's going to say, since you won't, then I'm going to keep them there to test you, to see if you will serve the Lord or not. Now, for us today, what that means is problems we keep praying for God to get rid of, people we keep asking God to take out of our lives. Is the Lord leaving them there to see if you will serve him or not?
Wow.
Amen. Because we can't get
Amen.
Rid of God knows exactly why everything happens to us
Amen.
Or around us. And we have to take into account Romans, right? All things work together for the good of those who love God. Paul and Silas sipping in the Philippian jail. Okay, you can just think of a myriad of things that have happened to folks throughout the Bible. But one thing we have is 2020 hindsight. we get to see, we know, when Joshua and them going into the promised land, we got 20/20 hindsight. We know exactly what's going to happen. They have no idea, but we know the whole story.
Right.
Just like Job. Job said, the Lord gave and the Lord took away, but we know better. The Lord gave, the devil took away.
Mm-hmm.
So we get a chance to go through the Bible and we get to be like God. We know what's going to happen before it happens. But these people that Moses is prepping to go into the promised land, they don't have no idea. And God has made whoever it is that God have you teaching outside of church, okay, schooling how to be a better Christian or to live for God, you already know the end. Just like our parents knew what we were going to run into when we became as grown as we wanted to be. They knew what we were going into because they had already gone down the road. God gives us a chance to be him, to see what, to know what he knows as we're reading through the Bible. Okay, and if your walk is close with him, nobody can walk up on you and you don't know why they're coming. Mm-hmm. Nobody can say something to you and you don't know why they said it. People mm-hmm. can't lie to you and you don't know they lied. Because just like God tells on people in here, trust me, your pastor, your teacher, if they're close with the Lord, he will tell them things that they can't tell you. That's just for your knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But get close to him and you'll find out some stuff. You get to be like Daniel. You get to see into dreams and what they mean. Or you get to be like the Hebrew boys, had the kind of faith to make heat go out of fire. But you got to you got to end up in the fire. You got to end up about to be killed because the king that dreamed a funny dream. You're going to have to find yourself in a Joseph kind of situation to see God make you prime minister overnight. So there's two sides to the thing. You got to be in Egypt before you know God can bring you out. Got to get to the Red Sea before you know God can get you across. You got to get in the wilderness before you know God will keep you for 40 years and your feet won't even swell up. That simply meant they didn't have any infectious disease or any kind of inflammation caused by disease. He kept them healthy on a diet of no more than bread and water.
Wow.
So Deuteronomy is an awesome book. The thing that strikes me most is Moses did this in 2 hours and 8 minutes and in four sessions. And most scholars believe that he called all of this from his mind. He didn't have it written down anywhere, because as you can see, the mediums they were using to preserve the word of God was tablets of stone. That's where it started. And then it went to parchment. Like I said last week, a whole flock of sheep would give you enough to do a whole Old Testament. And even around the year 1200, for a Bible in those days would cost a priest his entire yearly salary. And that's why most of them had none. And they were mostly functionally illiterate. But, amen. Just listening to y'all discuss this was amazing. Was amazing. Okay, that's my sermon.
Thank you, Pastor.
Wow, bring it in. Bring it on in, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
Ooh, I heard that a million times. All right, son, bring it on in.
Yes, the more I read through the book of Deuteronomy, and it really amazes me how specific God is. So often, we forget that he is concerned about even the minor things in our lives. And
The book of Deuteronomy really draws that out and makes it real to me.
And it says to us today that if he was concerned about the little things in their lives, he is with the same way with us, and more so because we have what they don't have. We have the Holy Spirit. Moses have the Holy Spirit. Joshua going to get the Holy Spirit. But the rest of them, unless God put his Spirit on them to help the leader, then they don't have it. They just have to listen to the leader. Like God told Moses, I'll be God to you and you be God to them. In other words, be my messenger to them. And that sort of makes you God to them. You know, it's amazing watching them grow up. You know, we went to the age that we started out in Genesis. I think Eric taught that book. It was the age of innocence until we got to chapter 4. Then we get to the age of conscience. And then we get to chapter 11. We get the age of government. And then we get the age of God's promises. And then we get the age of the law. And then we go into grace. But that right now, we're going to stay under law until Jesus comes. They're going to be under the law, and they are not going to do so hot. It's like us trying to, you know, stop sign. We still get tickets. You know, you know what I mean? And every time the police, why you pull me over? What did I do? We know what we did. Unless you're my wife, and she's a, and the cops say, do you know how fast you were going? No, how fast was I going? Oh, I didn't even see that sign. Or unless you're me, you drive down a one-way street and collect a $95 ticket. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He was trying to teach me not to do that. That happened to me as soon as we moved over here. We on this one-way street, right? And I live four houses from the corner, but I had to go all the way around the block to come back to my house. So I told Jesus to look out for me, and he told me, don't do it. I'm like, no, look out for me. So I turned the corner, and here comes some chick, the cop, came up out the ground, and you know what I mean, and just pulled this, and just pulled me over. Right at my house, I pulled on up in the driveway, and he pulled over. He said, did you see me? I'm like, no. He said, you know I got to get you because you did it in front of me. I'm like, no, you don't have to. You can see him. You don't have to. I pray
for
you.
Yeah.
But
yes,
he didn't
yes,
see
yes.
him. He gave me the ticket.
Yeah.
Pastor, oh, that sounds like that tree. When that tree moves for your dad.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'll never forget that. New Year's Eve, he had come home for some reason. He was going back down to the party and ran into a tree. And he told my mother, she asked him, why did you wreck the car? She told him the tree jumped out in front of him. So that must
wow.
be where I get, that's where, that must be where I get my stories from.
I like
you
that.
Know, the tree jumped out in front of me. We laughed about that for years. Still now.
Yeah.
When we get to heaven, I'll be like, Dad, do you remember when you said that tree jumped out in front of you?
Wow.
Oh, yes, indeed. I come in here. Oh.
All right. Well, I thank you all for attending and participating today. I really enjoy being a part of this class.
Well,
amen.
I can honestly say, hearing you teach it.
It was good to hear Pastor Tate jump in there.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to start doing getting some more of that.
Indeed.
Okay, before Nicole prays out, I just want to say on Wednesday we're going to continue our discussion on the assurance of our salvation, questions 11 through 20. and then we'll move on to the security of our salvation on the next week. But amen. So,
oh,
amen.
Yeah, I'm saying, amen. You gave me that guilt trip where I say make sure I be at least a week ahead. So, okay. All right.
Yep.
Right.
Also, don't forget tomorrow to get your text messaging ready to go, because you're going to have to blow up Kathy's phone and wish her a happy birthday.
Okay.
Oh, another birthday for Kathy.
Yeah, we got to blow that phone up. I'm telling you,
good thing we don't have to pay by the text anymore.
I'm telling you.
Hold it. Oh, heck yeah. Yes.
Oh, wait a minute. I still got minutes. I'm going to have to put some minutes on my phone.
Oh,
anybody
goodness.
Know where they sell them cards at?
Yeah. Yes, indeed. I know
okay, Nicole.
All right, so let's go to God's throne and thank Him today. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank You, Lord. I am so grateful each week, Lord, You just show me more and more of who You are, and I'm just so thankful for it, Lord. I thank You for just chasing after me and wanting to pursue a relationship with me. I thank You, Lord, for Your family, the church. They have been great to me, Lord. I thank You that You just love us so much, even down to the number of hairs on our head. They are numbered. And I'm just so grateful for all that You do. Continue to grow in us, Lord. Continue to raise us up. Continue to mature us, because, Lord, we want to do Your will in this earth. Thank You for everybody that showed up today for this class, those who participated, and those who didn't. Maybe they participated in their own way, but we are thankful for each and every person that is hearing this class today. Bless us, Lord, as we finish out this week. You've been so great. Even on our worst days, You are God, and You are great. Teach us how to teach Your word to our children in a way that they will hear us, even when we don't think they're listening, Lord. Remind us that it's getting in there. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.
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 Amen. I want to thank all of you for tuning in tonight. I know the teacher, Nicole, appreciates it, and I know the Lord is looking down, and, you know, I want to close with this. Never forget this verse, because the Lord is always watching, and the Lord is always writing. Look at Malachi chapter 3, and at verse 16. And it says, then those who feared, that word feared means reverence, the Lord, they spoke with each other, just like we just did. And the Lord listened to what they said. And in His presence, a scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared Him and always thought about the honor of His name. They will be My people, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. Excuse me. On the day when I act in judgment, they will be My own special treasure. I will spare them as a father spares an obedient child. Then you will again see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. The Lord is always watching when we have this class. So when Jesus looks at us in this class, what does he see? Amen. Amen. God bless you. You know I like to always end with something special. Amen. So we're going to end tonight with Ken Jones. Go ahead, Pastor. Come on, Pastor.
Put your hands to with good results. I'm telling you, I say that the Lord is
good. Hey, let everybody say.
Jesus, amen. Amen.